This is Positive Parenting. Parenting expertise and advice from best-selling parenting author and national newspaper columnist, Mr. Dad, Armin Brott.
Hey there, welcome to Positive Parenting. I'm Armin Brott. Dr. James Greenblatt has seen thousands of children and young adults struggling with the symptoms of ADHD, inattentiveness, impulsiveness, hyperactivity, and often irritability or combativeness. However, rather than simply prescribing medication for their ADHD symptoms, Dr. Greenblatt tailors remedies to his patients' individual needs. He detects and treats their underlying causes of the disorder. In this part of today's show, we're going to be talking with Dr. Greenblatt about some of the proven natural methods that he uses to treat problems, talking about things like nutritional deficiencies of magnesium or zinc, a condition called dysbiosis, which is a microbial imbalance inside the body, sleeping difficulties and food allergies, all of which, unbeknownst to a lot of people, can cause or exacerbate the symptoms of ADHD. He's put all of this into what he calls the plus-minus healing plan, and we're going to be talking about every single step of that. The goal of it is pretty simple. Once you understand the reasons behind your child's symptoms, you'll be able to eliminate them, whether they're on medication or not. And if medication is necessary, this approach will actually help to minimize the side effects. If you're the parent of a child with ADHD, or you've got it yourself, which is a perfectly good possibility, I think I do, you're not going to want to miss this show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
More with Mr. Dad, Armin Brott, after this, from the MrDad.com radio network.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
Do you have these in a 7.5?
How's that cooked?
Can I get that shipped overnight?
Is there a direct flight?
How long does the warranty last?
What's your soup of the day?
How do you change the ringtone?
Does it come in blue?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life.
Is it raining out?
What time's the meeting?
How much does this cost?
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Have we met before?
What's my account balance?
Yet somehow, when we get to the doctor's office...
Any questions?
No.
We clam up. Ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
When do I get my results?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Positive Parenting. I'm Armin Brott, and my guest for this part of today's show is James Greenblatt, who's the author of Finally Focused, the Breakthrough Natural Treatment Plan for ADHD that restores attention, minimizes hyperactivity, helps eliminate drug side effects. James, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Good to be on the show.
So let's talk a little bit about how ADHD is traditionally diagnosed and treated, and then we'll start getting into your very different approach.
Sure. I think, you know, if we had a second to go back 100 years, we've been using similar names to describe kids with attention and behavior problems, and every 10 or 20 years we kind of change the name, which means we change the treatment approach. And right now, the current approach to diagnosing ADHD is just a behavioral checklist, a list of symptoms, including overactivity and impulsivity and inattention. And it's a pretty subjective list. We don't have any medical or biological tests. So the doctors, the psychologists, are making these lists and making a diagnosis, and typical treatment has been with medications.
Does it start off with a kind of diagnosis from a teacher who says this kid is too active, is running around, whatever, and then that, do you think that that has a tendency possibly to bias the medical person who finally gets a hold of the kid later on?
The diagnosis really comes from kind of all sorts. For some of the males, for the boys, oftentimes they're identified early in school as being hyperactive or disruptive or hard to sit still. Some of the girls are not as hyperactive, which means they're just inattentive, and they might not get picked up till much later, middle school or high school. Sometimes these kids are getting all A's in school, so the schools have no concern, but the symptoms are only evident at home or on the sports field. So they really come diagnosed, or the symptoms can appear in different environments, and that's why someone years ago used the word, rather than attention deficit, wanted to change it to variable attention deficit disorder, because there are different environments.
Well, yeah, I mean, we hear that kids who have attention deficit disorder, whether it's ADHD or ADD, just whichever one is the flavor of the month, that they can actually focus quite well in certain circumstances. And that's kind of what you're talking about, which I think a lot of people find confusing. I mean, you'd think if you have attention deficit disorder, you would be having some attention issues everywhere.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's confusing for professionals and parents. And that's why the concept of variable attention, I think, is really important, because it doesn't mean because they're getting all A's in science that they don't have attentional issues and might need help in other areas.
How is your approach to diagnosing different, or is it?
Well, the approach to diagnosing is not that different. I'm looking for the same children and adults that are struggling with problems with attention, focus. One term that I like is persistence of effort and motivation. And then if those symptoms are getting in the way in some aspect of their life, could be school, could be home, my treatment is just a little different. And I've been, you know, prescribing medications for 30 years, so if needed, I use medicines. But what we have found over the years is that many of these kids have metabolic, nutritional, sleep problems, other kind of related problems that could be contributing to the symptoms. And my goal is to look to see if we can find and treat those problems before we use medicines.
Okay. And so you use what you call the plus-minus treatment plan, which is talking about too much of some things and not enough of something else's. Is that just, I mean, the quick and dirty way of summing it up?
Yeah, that was the simplest model that I could think of, because
okay.
Every child is different, and we needed to make a big list on either side.
Right. And so we're not probably going to be able to get through all of them, but let's talk about some of the big ones. I think you hear a lot about magnesium these days, often in conjunction with dairy products, and that you need more magnesium in order to properly metabolize the dairy products. But what is the connection between magnesium and ADHD?
You know, I think in 30 years of practice, probably the most consistent finding that I've seen is a magnesium deficiency in kids with ADHD. And the research is so clear and scientific-based, it's one of the topics that I feel very comfortable discussing with, you know, physicians and pediatricians, helping them understand that research. So magnesium deficiency, some of it could be related to the high dairy and calcium content. Some of it, I think, is genetic, and some of it is due to stress. When stress levels go up, magnesium is kind of excreted from the body, but it is the most common deficiency that we see.
So there's a difference, of course, between causation and correlation, right? So does the fact that kids with ADHD have a deficiency of magnesium mean that that's what's causing it?
It's certainly contributing to some of the symptoms, because we've been treating kids with magnesium for many years, and there's research looking at this as well. And many of the symptoms get better. Some of the hyperactivity, some of the sleep disturbances improve on magnesium. And we can test for magnesium deficiency. So the other really important point is that, you know, 10 kids all 10 years of age with ADHD, if you will, they might not all have magnesium as the core nutritional deficiency, but many will.
Okay, and that's just something you can ask your pediatrician next time that he's ordering a blood panel? Or is it more complicated than that?
We look at blood, red blood cell magnesium is one way of detecting it. There's also hair samples, nutritional levels of trace minerals sometimes can be picked up in the hair.
Okay. And are there other symptoms that parents might be on the lookout for that might point them in the direction of a magnesium problem? Or is it just something that if you have a child with ADD or ADHD, that you just want to attack that as a possibility right from the start?
you pretty much want to read about it and attack it right from the start. But there are four symptoms that are common that go with magnesium deficiency. So one is, I mentioned earlier, insomnia, so kids that have sleep problems. Two, which is not uncommon in our kids with ADHD, is constipation. Three would be irritability and anxiety. So those are the four kinds of symptoms that we see with magnesium deficiency. And it doesn't mean taking a pill for the first week that it's going to get better, but most of the time over the course of 30 days of just a supplementation with magnesium, some of those symptoms will improve.
Now, is magnesium typically something you can get from food, or is it something that you really need to get from a supplement?
You certainly can get magnesium from food, whole foods. It's certainly in the whole grains. It's in our green vegetables. It's in all those healthy foods we tell our kids to eat. I do think for the kids that we've been seeing for so many years with ADHD, to really make a difference, probably need to use a nutritional supplement of magnesium in addition to the whole foods.
Okay. So while we're on the topic of minerals, I guess we'll call them, what about lithium? You know, when I hear lithium, when I started reading this, I thought, wait, we're talking about bipolar, because I think lithium was one of the, or still is, a drug of choice for treating bipolar issues. How does that fit in with ADD and ADHD?
Well, so my work is looking at lithium as a nutritional trace mineral. So lithium is in the soil. Almost every glass of tap water we would drink would have small amounts of lithium in it. So, and in our bottled water from mineral springs. So lithium has been on the planet for billions of years and has essential functions in the brain. And we've just found a subset of kids, particularly the more aggressive, impulsive, some of the kids we hear about, they get kicked out of preschool, and parents are doing everything they can. We have found that just providing small amounts of nutritional lithium, lithium that you can get over-the-counter on Amazon, has been incredibly helpful for that small subset. It's not a medication, and it's not the same strength lithium that you would get in a prescription. It's just what's in our water supply that's put into supplements.
Talking with James Greenblatt, who's the author of Finally Focused. It's a breakthrough natural treatment plan for ADHD. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking to James about, well, I'm going to ask a few more questions about lithium, but also some of the minus issues. We've been talking about plus things, meaning you need to get more of, but there's also some things you might have too much of. I'm Armin Braun, and you're listening to Positive Parenting.
Your kids are going for a bike ride, you make sure they wear a helmet. They insist on skateboarding, add knee pads and elbow pads too. Swimming in the pool, water wings, goggles, earplugs. If we could pack our kids in bubble wrap, we'd do it. Because we love them, and we want to protect them. This is Lisa Edelstein with some very important news. Now there's an easy way to protect your kids three times a day. Choose healthy foods. Research has shown that a vegetarian diet rich in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains can help protect our kids against obesity. It can even help keep them from developing heart disease or cancer when they grow up. My friends at the Cancer Project are just waiting to hear from you so they can send you important information on how to protect your children from the inside out. Just log on to cancerproject.org or call 866-906-WELL. That's 866-906-WELL. This message brought to you by the Cancer Project.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom.
I go to school with your children.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
You see me around the neighborhood and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every five children in America and I'm struggling with hunger.
This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we can grow up to be whatever we want.
I want to grow up to be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry.
There's enough food in this country to feed everybody.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger.
Together, we are Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Positive Parenting. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with James Greenblatt, who's the author of Finally Focused, the breakthrough natural treatment plan for ADHD that restores attention, minimizes hyperactivity, helps eliminate drug side effects. Wanted to get back a little bit to lithium, because you mentioned that it's not nearly the quantities or the concentration that you're talking about for somebody who's got the bipolar issues that I mentioned. And what sorts of foods do you get that in? Or again, is that a supplement that you need?
Most of our lithium supply is actually in the soil, so it's from the water we're drinking. And with our obsession over the past 25 years with bottled water and filtered water, that some people believe that might be why there's more of a nutritional deficiency in lithium. It's not in meat. It's mostly in whole grains and vegetables. I believe that we all have different requirements for lithium, and those families with psychiatric problems like drug abuse, depression, or even bipolar in a relative, often these are the kids that, even though they don't have those major psychiatric illnesses, tend to do better with a little more lithium in their diet.
And is that something that can be tested for, like magnesium, or is there some other way of determining that?
The only test, and I've been using the same test again for 30 years, is a hair mineral analysis. So just like on TV where they look at levels of drugs and heavy metals, you can detect lithium. And I've been looking at the same test again for so many years, and the last 10 or 15 years, the levels are getting less and less. And oftentimes we have kids with what we call undetectable lithium in their hair samples. And those are the kids we would use nutritional supplements of lithium with.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about some of the minus issues. And the first one actually is kind of a pairing. You've got minus on, an excess of copper and a deficiency of zinc. What's the connection between the two of those metals?
Well, you know, we've been reading a lot about the lead crisis in Flint and the water. And recent studies actually done here in Massachusetts looked at the same schools, and not only was lead high, but copper is high. So copper is in all the old pipes we use, copper pipes, and high copper is one of the causes we've seen of hyperactivity and aggressive behavior in children. It's mostly environmental and easily detected. Oftentimes can take a while to treat, and the trace mineral zinc is the treatment for high copper. They're kind of a seesaw balance. One mineral balances the other. So if we do see high copper, we would just try to eliminate copper in the environment and add zinc.
Wait, how does zinc affect copper?
Again, if you add zinc, copper, they compete with the same kind of proteins in the blood. So as zinc levels go up, copper levels go down.
Huh.
There are some genetic disorders of high copper, and the medication is just using high zinc.
Wow.
We've known this for many years, but with these hyperactive children, our pediatricians aren't routinely looking for it. That's been the problem.
You know, that's fascinating. I years ago in a home remodel, did some plumbing work and was told very, very forcefully to not mix copper and galvanized pipe. That caused a bad chemical reaction. So there was some sort of, if you had copper and galvanized pipes, you had to have some sort of something in between the two of them so they wouldn't touch. I wonder if that's the same kind of a problem, or the same kind of thing that's going on inside the body, some sort of a chemical reaction that's causing erosion, basically.
But similar, and copper has very key, important effects in brain chemistry, and so you need small amounts of copper to make some of the neurotransmitters in the brain, like dopamine, but too much copper kind of stimulates excessive amount of some of these chemicals, and that's where you get that kind of irritability or hyperactivity.
Okay. You know, let's talk a little bit about medication, because that's one of the things that I think there's a lot of people these days who are saying that kids are over-medicated, and I think you're certainly one of them. What are the alternatives to medication?
Well, I think what's really critically important to me, and the reason I wrote this book now, is the use of medications in our younger kids, these 4 to 6 and 7-year-old kids being put on medicines without looking at any other kind of medical treatments. And I think, to me, that's a real tragedy, because oftentimes the kinds of things we talk about, be it food allergies or nutritional deficiencies, in these younger kids, those we can make a huge difference. I found some kids do benefit from medicine, but it's after, you know, all these nutritional deficiencies, and usually later on in school if they're really struggling. The other component of the book is that, so I'm not anti-medicine. I believe it's kind of overprescribed and people aren't looking at the big picture. If medicine is used, a lot of the nutritional interventions, particularly the magnesium that we talked about, can eliminate a lot of the side effects that patients and our children complain about.
Okay. Now, you have an interesting thing here, because we talk about the sugar drinks and kids are eating too much garbage and there's too much sugar. I think there's a lot of acknowledgement out there that there's sugar is leading to inflammation and it causes all sorts of problems. But you're talking about not necessarily getting rid of it completely, but adding protein. And is that a similar type of way as adding zinc to counteract the excess of copper? So you would be adding protein to counteract the sugar? Or should you just get off the sugar?
I'd want refined sugar to be removed from the planet. We would all do better.
We probably
but
would.
I've talked to enough parents where, you know, they take everything out of the house and the kids do fine for 2 weeks and then they're sneaking out. And so part of the message is, you know, helping our kids learn to eat better, make better choices. And there was one study that was done years ago, but I continue to talk about it, where they gave the effects of sugar by itself really affected attention and reading. And if they gave protein with the sugar, it did not have the same effect on attention. And so in the book, without trying to be kind of fanatic and enraging parents or kids, I tried to just help parents understand that increasing protein is going to minimize the amount of refined carbohydrates in the diet and minimize that effect. And there's research to support that.
Yeah. So when you said that they didn't have the same effect, does that mean that it completely eliminated it, or it reduced some of the problems that were associated with sugar?
In this one study, it completely eliminated the attentional problems that they measured. In the old days, you know, pediatricians used to quote a couple of studies that said sugar didn't contribute to hyperactivity, and I think the newer research, you're not going to get a simple cause and effect, but over time, refined sugar contributes to nutritional deficiencies,
sure,
which then affects, you know, brain chemistry.
And is it a particular type of protein? Does it matter if it's a piece of chicken or a plate full of beans?
No, it does not matter.
That's just fascinating. Okay. So there's another pairing that I like that I think is something we've talked about on the show, and I think something that requires some... You can never say it too often about the kids not getting enough sleep, needing more sleep, and also needing more exercise. Talk about the connection there.
Well, another term, you know, I like, rather than, you know, besides variable attention disorder, some of the headlines in the New York Times a few years ago, a sleep deficit disorder. The relationship between sleep disturbances in young children associated with ADHD years later, and the association with sleep problems in current kids with ADHD is really quite high. So we tend to kind of ignore the effect of sleep on attention, but the research is quite clear, so enough sleep is critical. And then, you know, the other two parts of treatment involve one, exercise. Many adults know that's when they focus the best and to pay attention.
Yeah, well, there have been a lot of studies. I actually saw some really interesting ones about kids who had exercise in the morning, that they tended to do better on tests and all sorts of performance throughout the rest of the day. So, talking with James Greenblatt, who's the author of Finally Focused, the Breakthrough Natural Treatment Plan for ADHD that restores attention, minimizes hyperactivity, and helps eliminate drug side effects. James, thanks for joining us. Great to have you.
My pleasure. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Ever notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice? From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents.
You should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends.
You have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey there, welcome back to Positive Parenting. I'm Armin Brandt, and it's time for a Parents at Play segment. And because playing with your kids, no matter how old they are, is always a blast, here are some great ways to start blasting with your kids. Laser X two-player laser gaming set from NSI International. There are a lot of words to describe Laser X, but to keep the list short, we're going to limit ourselves to wow, amazing, cool, woohoo, and most importantly, let's do it again. Got the point there? We reviewed the two-player set, which, if you're a laser newbie, is the only way to go. Playing against someone else is infinitely more fun than playing by yourself. This set comes with two laser blasters, two vests, an interactive coach who tells you to get down and lets you know when you're running low on ammo, cool sound effects, and hours of fun. It's great for outdoors or indoors, and since the vests and the blasters glow, it's especially fun at night. It's also compatible with other LaserX equipment, so you can field teams. Each vest allows you to select red team, blue team, or to go rogue and blast everyone in sight. It's for ages 6 to 16, $24.99 for a single blaster and vest, and $49.99 for a double set at major retailers or getlaserx.com. Skypaper PPL-1 from The Bridge Direct. Making paper airplanes is a great parent-child activity with opportunities for both cooperative and competitive play, but there is nothing more frustrating than tossing your newly created aircraft and having it nosedive 3 feet in front of you. With the paper PPL-1, that'll never happen. Instead, you'll be able to launch your planes up to 100 feet. It comes with 24 planes and easy-to-follow instructions. You can download even more at skypapertoys.com. It's for ages 6 and up. Costs under $20 at Toys R Us and other retailers. Firetech Zyklon Ring Launcher from Zing. This double-take-provoking shooter is pretty much the opposite of most other blaster-type toys. Instead of shooting an object at a target, you're essentially launching the target itself. In this case, it's a large glowing ring. Since you can send the ring up to 100 feet, this anti-blaster is best for outdoor play. It's for ages 6 and up, costs about $30. It's available only at Target. The Air Warriors Ultra Tech Blasters from Buzzbee Toys. Buzzbee makes a dizzying variety of blasters. The Night Tech fires darts up to 72 feet. It comes with 6 long-distance suction darts and can use long-distance and foam darts from other shooters. What's especially cool is the pop-up night vision scope, which allows you to see your target day or night. Destiny is another model. Doesn't launch its darts as far, it's only 60 feet, but it can unload 20 rounds in just 2 seconds. Just load the clip, snap it in, pump the handle, and whoosh! Both are for ages 6 and up. The Night Tech requires batteries and retails for about $13. Destiny does not need batteries and retails for under $28. You can get a lot more reviews of toys and games at our website, parentsatplay.com. We'll be back next week with another segment for you. Till then, I'm Armin Brandt.
Thanks for listening to Positive Parenting. You can get more information on today's show and what we're working on in the weeks ahead at MrDad.com. While you're there, visit the MrDad.com gift shop with everything you need to help you become the dad or mom you want to be. Positive Parenting is a production of the MrDad.com radio network. Now, go be a great parent.